Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. In the sports world, fans get their insight from their favorite radio show, Calvin and Campbell.
I listen to public radio.
There's Elijah Campbell, an easygoing sports trivia king.
That's a clean burning hell, I tell you what.
And Calvin Smith, the analytics mastermind.
Who ate all the pecan sandies?
This is their show. Calvin and Campbell
on ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Good morning, Nashville. It's not quite March yet, as I learned today. It's a leap year, February 29th, 9 a.m. in the morning, and you heard it. This is Calvin and Campbell. I'm Calvin Smith. To my right, Elijah Campbell, on a brisk and chilly, about 34-degree morning. And you know, Elijah, I keep talking about how I'm tired of winter, I'm ready for the summer, I'm ready for warm weather in baseball season. But I stepped out and it was a nice brisk cold, and I kind of liked it. It made me feel in the sports season, even though almost all the sports are over. It just felt like football season or something like that. I don't know.
A little bit. Winter, for me, should never be over. I thoroughly enjoy the wintertime. I'm weird like that. If it was up to me, I think that the high being 55 is great. It's fantastic. So a day like today, perfect. The only thing wrong is that it's not March yet.
We're almost there.
It's almost March time for madness, baby. It's almost time for the madness. But we are teased, I tell you, by a leap year.
It's a shame. It's a shame that there won't be much to enjoy in this city. In terms of March Madness, Lipscomb's not the same.
Mm-mm.
Vanderbilt's not the same.
Belmont's
the Vols aren't the same.
If they don't win the OVC tournament, Belmont's not going to be in it.
March Madness won't have much Middle Tennessee in it. And Memphis even going to be in it?
Oh, it's not looking good. They have some work to do. I do say that. They have some work to do in terms of resume. And, well, obviously losing James Wiseman hurt their season a ton. They've had opportunities to get some key wins that could put them in the NCAA tournament, but as of right now, it's not looking too hot. They could still win the AAC tournament, I would say, even though I think they're maybe the third or fourth best team in it. But it's not even looking good for Memphis.
Looking around the sports world this week, you know, the Tom Brady rumors are flying. We're actually going to dedicate our next two segments to talking about Tom Brady because
it's getting hot.
Oh my gosh, he might actually come to Nashville. But we'll get to that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Coronavirus grips the nation here in the United States. And they're talking about possibly canceling the Olympics because of the fears of the disease. I would be so surprised if this happens because canceling the Olympics feels like shutting down the world. Like, that's what it comes down to on such late notice, too, just a few months before everything's supposed to happen. When everything's booked, the hotels have been built, the facilities are getting prepared for the largest sporting event in the world. It tells you how big of a deal and how
huge deal
potentially scary the coronavirus can be, but how much of a shame it would be and how much I would miss the Olympics, because I don't care a single bit about track or pole jumping, whatever it's called. Gymnastics, pole vaulting, gymnastics, any of it. I don't care. But when it comes to the Olympics, I'm going to watch as many events as I can because it's the Olympics.
Exactly. It's the world's biggest event. It really is. Every 4 years, it is the thing to look forward to. I love watching Olympic basketball. Even though, like, Team USA dominates every year.
Never even close.
For the most part, there are a couple games in you know, my lifetime in which Spain gives, you know, the United States a good run, or maybe I think it was 2004 where the U.S. settled for bronze. It had the worst Olympic team ever. It had to settle for bronze. I think Argentina ended up getting gold. But, like, Olympic basketball is one of my favorite things to look forward to every four summers. And for it to be canceled because of the coronavirus would be awful. Would be horrendous for me because, like, I'm like you, man.
Shoot, swimming, too. I will watch so much swimming.
Michael Phelps helped with that.
Oh, yeah,
Michael
for sure.
Phelps is one of my all-time favorite athletes just because of his dominance.
Yep.
But, like, you miss out on moments like that without the Olympics, and it would be unfortunate if the Olympics in Tokyo got canceled. But that just shows how serious this thing is. People don't just cancel money-making events like the Olympics just for giggles, you know? Like, this is a real thing that's going on.
Would you say you're a winter? Do you prefer the summer or winter Olympics?
Oh, summer, yeah.
Really? See, I prefer winter because I love snowboarding. I love watching snowboarding and skiing and Olympic hockey. Those are my favorites, so I think I prefer the winter.
Okay.
So I guess I'm glad it's not the Winter Olympics getting canceled because the Winter Olympics are my personal favorite, but a shame nonetheless.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a Summer Olympics because I do like watching track and field. Like the minor sports.
Oh, the sprints. The sprints are super entertaining.
Yes, and I obviously love basketball. So you get that in the summer. I love the sprints. I love the swimming. You know, track and field as a whole. Nice too. I'll even watch Olympic wrestling. Oh, ping pong is even a summer Olympic sport.
Right, yep.
Like when ping pong's one of those things too. Like if it's like if it's the Olympics and they're showing ping pong or table tennis.
Yes.
Quote unquote. I got the air quotes going here. If they're showing table tennis, I'm watching that.
I love playing
it's
ping pong.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at ping pong. All I can do is serve decently well, but I watch them and they're not even playing the same sport I'm playing when I'm playing with a friend or something
not.
Like that. They are insanely good. They're standing like 5 feet at least behind the table and just hammering this ball around.
I want someone there to track analytics of ping pong just to see how fast.
We need player tracking technology
for ping pong. The hilarious. But speaking of hilarious, we talked about this before the show started. Joe Burrow apparently has tiny hands.
Weak.
You can't do it. That's it.
When I got this report of
no longer sold.
When I saw this report of Joe Burrow's hand size being reported, one, his hands are bigger than Jake Fromm's. Jake Fromm's hands are 8 inches and 7/8 of an inch long. And that's from your thumb
tiny hand team.
To your pinky. So you basically hold your hand out. And then from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky, you kind of like stretch them out, you know, as long as you can go.
Yeah.
And that's the hand size they're measuring. So I was like, okay, let me go see how big my hands are. I'm sure Joe Burrow has bigger hands than me. No, me and Joe Burrow both have 9-inch hands, so I'm every bit as qualified to be the number one pick in the draft, just like Joe Burrow. Somebody call my phone. I'll get an agent.
Wow. I definitely don't have nine inches from my thumb to my pinky, and I get it that size matters, but you know what? I got the heart, man.
The
grit and determination. But, like, here's an interesting question, I was thinking. Since Joe Burrow has tiny hands, or what Burger King would call Whopper hands. I don't know if you remember those commercials where, like, these guys had, like, really tiny hands. They're like, my hands are really small. I have Whopper hands. I can't, like, hold a Whopper because Whoppers are so big. But how many trips do you think it takes Joe Burrow to get all the groceries out of his car? Say he's got a trunk full of groceries with a bunch of, like, Walmart bags. How many trips does he have to take? Because if you have, like, 10-inch hands, like, what would be a good quarterback hand evaluation to go to? Josh Allen? Josh Allen, maybe a 1-2-trip guy max.
Josh Allen is a one-trip, one-hand guy. When you see him walking around in shorts, you know he can carry all of his groceries in one trip. That's a man.
Yeah. Oh, you know he can carry your franchise, but he can carry all of his groceries in one trip from the car to the house. I mean, if Joe Burrow's taking multiple trips,
cannot trust that man with your franchise.
That's a
at
guy
all.
Who's not willing to go for it.
Absolutely.
A guy who's not willing to stretch himself beyond his capabilities.
You know, I think that tells you he's not clutch in the big moments.
You want someone who
wants the pressure, who wants to carry the load. Well, if Joe Burrow's taking multiple trips from the grocery store, he doesn't want to shoulder the load. He doesn't want to carry the team.
He can't carry all those Walmart bags.
If he can't carry his eggs, his bread with all of his hard materials, I'm sorry. You're not my guy.
Yeah. There's some things in that trunk of that car when you're grocery shopping. Temperature sensitive. They can't be in there too long. You got to get that to the fridge fast. And Joe Burrow with tiny hands, he's not only a detriment to your team, be a detriment to your groceries as well.
And we'll talk.
A lot about Joe Burrow this week.
We'll talk a lot more about the combine and maybe on a little bit more serious of a note.
It's funny because none of this matters.
Because
both of us are
a little bit more pessimistic on the importance of the combine. If you couldn't tell by that 3-minute diatribe about the importance of hand size
and groceries, grocery bag trips to and from the car.
And then another funny thing that happened this week that we saw: Garth Brooks.
Oh my
goes
God.
Up to Detroit. The home of the Detroit Lions. And he wears a Sanders jersey with the number 20 on it. So anybody who keeps up with sports, you know, over the last 20, 30 years, can infer that this is a Barry Sanders jersey.
Easily.
Well, a few people on the good old Facebook did not interpret Sanders 20 in terms of the great running back Barry Sanders and thought Garth Brooks was making a political statement.
That is unbelievable. Siri, show me the most 2020 thing you can find on Facebook.
And so people basically come, a few people, this was not the majority of people, this was not a great number of people, but just enough for it to be noticeable and to make a good joke about them saying, keep your politics and keep singing your songs.
It was enough for multiple screenshots, for enough screenshots to take up a couple pages of screenshots on Twitter to where you could almost make a thread. If there's enough for that, it's enough for the entire city of Detroit or the Facebook community to have an intervention. For a little bit. Just
Garth Brooks almost gets political in the funniest way just by wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. Mm-hmm. 2020, politics, presidential campaigns are in full swing in this country. And we have more to get to here on Calvin and Campbell. We said it. Tom Brady, oh my gosh, he's coming to Nashville. He might be coming to Nashville. Well, it's actually starting to look like it. Elijah and I will discuss the feasibility of that. Are we buying into Tom Brady in Nashville at all? And is he a fit here? We'll see. We'll get to that coming up on Calvin and Campbell up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Calvin and Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith. He is Elijah Campbell. And we can't avoid this topic at all. Because the thought of Tom Brady coming to Nashville is the most polarizing thing in sports. If this actually happens, the Tennessee Titans will be the leading headline across every major sports network in this country once training camp starts. I'm not sure if St. Thomas Sports Park will be able to hold all of the cameras that will want to come to this city to see Tom Terrific, TB12.
It'll be a media circus, and Nashville will be the epicenter of the biggest media circus in the NFL. That's incredible to me. If that happens, we're all playing like the what-if game. We'll get down to whether or not it can happen a little bit, but just close your eyes and picture this for a little bit.
If you're driving, don't close your
eyes.
Please keep them open, please.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's preface it with this. If you're in the car, I don't suggest closing
Maybe
your eyes.
We'll give you a second. Pull off to the side and close your eyes.
Close your eyes and then picture, A, how weird it would be for Tom Brady to be wearing a jersey that's not one of the New England Patriots.
Gross and hideous.
Weird. Absolutely weird. And then imagine him playing in Nissan Stadium as the home team quarterback. I mean, imagine what that does for ticket sales.
Then the Titans are fully justified to raise their ticket prices all they want.
Oh, and they're going to go through the roof because everyone's going to want to come see Tom Brady. No one's going to care that he's, going to be 43 next year?
Oh, yeah. No, nobody cares about that because he's Tom Brady.
He's Tom Brady. It'd be like if Nashville had an NBA team and they happened to be the Wizards when Michael Jordan decided to come to come play for them. Like, it's the same thing. And here's the thing. Like, it's to a point, like, whether or not he's still got it is almost irrelevant to the city because you got Tom Brady.
So, obviously, yes, I completely agree with you. And we're going to get into, is he actually a better option than Ryan Tannehill coming up in the next segment? But the feasibility of this, like I would say about a month ago, I was like, I don't think Tom Brady's going to come to Nashville. It just seems like a long shot. Even if he's going to go to free agency, LA's out there. But he's locked up in New England. He's had everything forever there. His family lives there. It just seems like everything is working in that direction. Well, Jeff Darlington at ESPN is one of the most connected people to this situation. Adam Schefter, the leading NFL reporter, has reported as much. And Jeff Darlington, he came out and said some pretty bold things this week. I believe it was on ESPN's Get Up that I sat back and said, oh my gosh, this may actually happen.
At this point, I'd be stunned if he returns to New England, to be very blunt about it. And I understand that people don't necessarily want to accept it. Even those close to Brady still sit there and say, yeah, but you'll walk into Bill Belichick's office, he'll lay out this master plan, and all will be well again. I got to tell you, I get no sense that Brady is thinking that way. Instead, very much so, looking toward free agency. It is not as if Tom Brady is flirting with the possibility of free agency so we can ultimately come back with the Patriots. He is absolutely looking forward to free agency.
Wow. As ESPN's music plays behind that, he's looking forward to going to free agency. Jeff Darlington will be shocked if he returns.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a guy who is in constant talks with Tom's people. I mean, people that
one
are
of the people
very...
who are closest to the one of the toughest situations to crack.
Exactly. And he's got the best end of anybody. And he is saying that Tom Brady is looking forward to free agency, looking forward to have a bidding war over him. And if he says that he is shocked that Tom Brady returns to New England, I think it's time to finally accept the fact that Tom Brady will not retire a Patriot, which is absolutely wild.
And I wouldn't have guessed that a month ago.
Yeah,
a month ago.
Absolutely not. We even talked on these airwaves. Like, even when we were talking about, like, or when the Titans were in New England to play the divisional round or wild card matchup, we're like, is this the last game that Tom Brady plays in New England? And we discussed it being the last game, but like deep down inside, we didn't truly believe it would. We believed if it would, it's because he would be retiring, not because he's going somewhere else.
Yes.
And one of the questions we posed was, if Tom Brady decides to leave, what does he have to prove? Like, that's one thing. That would be one reason to leave, is because he feels like he has something to prove, and that would be maybe winning without Bill Belichick, which could be
one of the driving forces.
Yeah.
As the competitor Tom Brady is, I could see him saying, I have to go prove it. At my old age, in my decrepit state, I can still win without Bill Belichick. I'm not a system quarterback for the few people who say that.
Right.
Which I don't buy into that much, even though I think they certainly work together very, very well, how the Patriots operate.
Yeah.
But that's the ideal situation every team is trying to build. The Patriots just pulled it off perfectly. So when I think about this in terms of a probability, a percentage chance of this happening, a logistic curve, if you will, I feel like I'm hitting 60, 65, 70% chance that Tom Brady hits free agency. And within that chance of him hitting free agency, I could totally see the Titans as a favorite. Mike Vrabel, he knows him. All the connections to New England in the front office with John Robinson are very well documented. In Nashville, I could see wanting to move a family down here, plop a place down in Brentwood or something like that.
According to some people, NBA. Just imagine all the rumors we're going to get now. Like, if one
I'll
BS
be breaking
rumor,
some fake news.
Yeah, if one BS rumor just kind of spouts from nowhere that Tom Brady and his family are at NBA, even though they're absolutely not at NBA, happened just in the span of a couple hours, if that one caught fire or spread like wildfire, imagine what's going to happen now. Imagine the stuff people are going to come up with now to say, oh, I heard Tom Brady is looking for or looking at, you know, homes and neighborhoods in Franklin.
I heard he got a membership to the Costco in Franklin.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Those are going to be everywhere. We're going to start tracking flights. We are.
It's going to be college football coach season.
I know no one can see us because this is obviously radio. My pointer finger and thumb are very close together because I'm saying we are this far away from tracking flights now. I think we are going to hit that spot very soon. The minute he becomes a free agent, it's going to get wild, not just here, but like L.A. too. The Chargers are a reasonable destination.
Oh, my gosh. And in Boston, they're going to freak out because Tommy's leaving.
Yeah, Tommy's leaving. Their golden calf is leaving New England, and Bill Belichick will be on his own. And obviously, I don't completely rule out a return to New England for Tom Brady. I think the probability is very low. But you know that Bill Belichick's going to come with a pitch. And unless Bill Belichick thinks he's over the hill, and if that's the case, then...
And we know about everything he did with Jimmy Garoppolo, wanting to develop Garoppolo as part of it. Then you see Garoppolo in the Super Bowl, and of course that whole drama about Tom didn't like having a successor behind him. I mean, the drama's been there. We've been talking about it for several years now.
And everyone in that building, that Patriots building, saying, you know, that these aren't like true reports. Maybe this leads us to believe that there was some more truth
maybe
to
not
those
fully
reports.
True. But maybe there's always a kernel of truth in a lie.
Exactly. Or the truth falls somewhere in between the hyperbole and the assumption. Like, it's, I really do think that if Tom is thinking about leaving, or if Jeff Darlington thinks that Tom Brady is not coming back, says he'd be shocked if Tom Brady comes back. Things weren't so happy-go-lucky in New England even this year, or maybe even last year during the Super Bowl run. They were just able to get it together at the right time and make a run to win the whole thing again.
As we both follow this situation closely, what is your, like in your brain, what is the percent chance now that Brady is leaving New England and then the percent chance he ends up in Nashville.
I think after hearing Jeff Darlington, so there were several quotes he had on Get Up where he is just adamant. I mean, this guy, and this is not
he's kind of staking a big part of his reputation, his credibility on this.
Like, yeah.
I don't think a lot of people understand what it means for a journalist to come out and say this and to put their word on it. Because
on
if you
TV
if
like
you
this.
Lose your word as a journalist, that's pretty important.
Yeah. I mean, poor Chris Broussard. He is missed on stuff like this all the time, and no one takes him seriously anymore. That's what happens when you miss on stuff like this. Jeff Darlington has won multiple AP awards, not just for writing, but for literally breaking news. He has won multiple AP breaking news awards. This guy wins awards because he's got these ins, and he does not report on things if they are not true. So for Jeff Darlington to go on Get Up and say as loud and as boldly as he did that he would be stunned if Tom Brady comes back, there is a ton of truth behind that. So I would say the chances of him leaving New England are about 80, I would say, maybe 80.
80, you're all the way up to, see, I think I'm at 65, 70.
I think if Jeff Darlington would be stunned, that is enough for me to push it to 80.
Oh,
but
my
coming
gosh.
To Nashville, I would say this is maybe a 35 because it's the most logical fit for him. Football-wise, I mean, this is a team built around him.
Definitely
I mean,
ready to win right now. A good offensive line. I think that's the most important thing to Tom.
Yeah, a good offensive line. And he's got some weapons. That man had zero weapons last year. Julian Edelman was the number one receiver, and he was hurt most of the year. Like, Tom Brady's throwing pitch and catch to a one-legged Mohamed Sanu and Benjamin Watson. This
Benjamin Watson, who's suspended for four games.
Like there was no stability in the wide receiving core in New England for Tom Brady to throw to. He got what should have been the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year on his team this year, an A.J. Brown, if he goes to Nashville and plays for the Titans. That's pretty intriguing. A defense that just shut him down.
Yeah, shut him and the Baltimore Ravens down.
And the Baltimore Ravens down just mere months ago. Incredible.
I'll tell you what, if the Titans do get Tom Brady, I've been pessimistic on my outlook for the Tennessee Titans pending a big change, or not a big change, but changes in the system of how they do things because the NFL is a constantly adapting league. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, oh man, I think I get a little bit more positive about my future long-term way too far ahead prediction for the Tennessee Titans because I think Tom Brady does change a lot of things, which leads to the question, is he a better option for the Titans in 2020? Does this even matter? Because is he a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill right now? Calvin and Campbell, sports attorneys at law, will toss this up in court and debate. Thank you, Captain Kurt. That's coming up next here on Calvin and Campbell. I'm Calvin. He's Elijah. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
He is absolutely looking forward to free agency.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
I'm Calvin. He's Elijah. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Just hit the listen live button. Coming up later today on these very airwaves, if you haven't heard, Nashville's getting a professional soccer team, Nashville SC Special, with host and one of the voices of Nashville Soccer Club, Wes Bowling. That will start at 4 p.m. and will lead you into pregame coverage for Avalanche at Predators at 5. Big game for the Preds, and of course, Nashville SC, MLS. In this city is starting today. 94.9 Game 2 will be your flagship home. Yes, applause for soccer coming to the city. 94.9 Game 2 will be your home, the official flagship of Nashville Soccer Club. Coverage for that will start at 6:30 before they kick off against Atlanta United FC. They've sold, I believe it is 50,000 tickets for the game at Nissan Stadium. That's going to be a fun one. And of course, we will talk about a little bit later on in the show, Nashville SC and soccer coming to the mid-state. But now, it's time for Calvin and Campbell, sports attorneys at law. So, I teased it before the break. The topic this week, Tannehill, Brady, he could be coming to Nashville. Tannehill might command $26, $27, $28 million a year as a quarterback. Tom Brady, future Hall of Famer. is he better than the younger by about 13 years, Ryan Tannehill? Elijah, I'll start it off with you.
This is tough. It's a very tough question. And I love Ryan Tannehill, and I've always kind of been of the belief that if you're going in between an unknown and something you know the performance of Ryan Tannehill because you got a good sample of it for he pretty much saved your season, and the unknown of what Tom Brady looks like outside of the Bill Belichick umbrella. In these scenarios, I usually go with what you know. But let's look at it this way. Tom Brady, while he might have dropped off in numbers a little bit at the end of last year, I think it's very important to take with a grain of salt the cast around him, and that maybe that was the reason why he didn't look as good at the end of last year as he did at the beginning. I think if Tom Brady is available, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you to get a generational quarterback who is still competent enough to run your offense. He would be comfortable with the people around him. He knows Mike Vrabel pretty well. He's comfortable with Mike Vrabel. They're friends. He's comfortable with the GM, John Robinson. He trusts John Robinson. Ryan Tannehill's a great option, but you're not going to get a chance like this with a team you have right now ever again. This is the year. If there is any year to go for it, this is the year. You'd have weapons around Tom Brady that are better than what he has right now. He wouldn't be throwing to a one-legged Mohamed Sanu, a Julian Edelman who gets suspended or gets hurt almost every year and doesn't play a full season. He doesn't play with fringe NFL guys on this team. He's got weapons. So not only is this an attractive proposition for Tom Brady, but it is for the Tennessee Titans because he can make this offense even better.
I'm going to object. I don't even buy your point about the comfort in Nashville, because I do see what you're saying with him and Mike Vrabel being comfortable together. But Tannehill was in this offense for 10 weeks. He's already gelled with the receivers, with the tight ends, yeah, with the offensive line. They know how he's going to play. I think that Ryan Tannehill is the better option for the Titans this year, next year, and 3 years down the road.
You don't think Tom Brady could gel with him? Tom Brady gels with a lot. He makes a lot of people look really good. Deion Branch look pretty good.
That's fair. But with what you saw from Tannehill, Arthur Smith already has a feel for how this offense can work with Tannehill, what the skill set is, what they have already installed in the playbook based on what they've done. With the receivers, Tannehill has a better scope of where they're going to be on the field in game action. I think Tom Brady, that learning curve would be a little bit longer and the Titans wouldn't be able to get out to as good of a start, because when you switch quarterbacks like that, there's a bit of a learning curve. The Titans' offense didn't hit their stride until Tannehill really got settled. They didn't go on the winning streak until after the Carolina Panthers loss, I think in part because Tannehill was still a better option than Marcus Mariota, no doubt, but still had to find time to gel with A.J. Brown to make him that number one receiver. Find time to, okay, this is where Anthony Firkser is going to be when I roll out to the right and I'm looking for XYZ down the field. I think the Tannehill, because of what you've already established with him last season, where obviously you had an immense amount of success, obviously going to the AFC Championship game, I think it's a little foolish to try to go away from what worked so well for them last season with a quarterback play they haven't seen in years here. Better than Mettenberger, better than Mariota, better than Locker, all of that. You need in Tennessee, you need that kind of stability, and I think stability over the next 2 to 3 seasons is what gives Tannehill the edge to me.
When it comes to a learning curve, that is a fair point, but that's something you worry about with guys like Ryan Tannehill or Teddy Bridgewater, if you want to bring in Teddy Bridgewater, or, I don't know, Jacoby Brissett, or anybody that's being moved around, Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota, you worry about the learning curve. Tom Brady's seen plenty of NFL offenses. He studies plenty of NFL offenses. If there's anyone on this planet that I don't believe will have no trouble with a learning curve at any point in time, it's Tom Brady. He probably already knows the Titans offense. I mean, with much as him and Mike Vrabel, they're boys. I mean, I bet he does know the Titans offense. And working with Bill Belichick, those guys are suckers for detail, and they are on the same page at all times. And one of the things that Bill Belichick has always done best And the school of Bill Belichick is know your opponent as good as you know yourself, as much as you know yourself. I think Tom Brady's pretty familiar with the offense. Would it take time to gel with receivers? Of course. But I trust Tom Brady to be able to gel with receivers. This guy can gel with just about anybody. He gelled with Antonio Brown pretty well for 1 week, considering he was on the team only for a couple days. And they, granted, it was a really bad Miami team. They lit him up pretty good. And they looked like they were on the same page. Tom Brady has a way of just making things happen, even though he might not be in the most comfortable of positions. A lot of receivers can probably tell you they had their careers made because Tom Brady helped them out an awful lot. Danny Amendola's living pretty well. He's eating pretty good right now because Tom Brady gelled with him pretty well, and Danny Amendola hasn't been able to replicate that with any other quarterback he's left since, which is about two of them, one being pretty good.
Here's my thing. Ryan Tannehill also, the age factor with Tom Brady actually gets to me a little bit.
That's the most fair concern. I would say that is the most fair concern with Tom Brady because he is not a spring chicken.
Because if something goes wrong, how is he going to be able to fix it? Because I know the key to Tom Brady is that he's so poised in the pocket and is able to maneuver and manipulate the pocket like no other to compensate for the fact that he's never been very fast in any respect.
No one's ever accused him of being a speedster.
And that's what's made his game so replicable over the years, is that what he's doing is not just terribly a beat down on his body. But I think what a great advantage of Ryan Tannehill last season was, you saw it in the Chiefs game. You saw it across multiple instances where Tannehill, being the former wide receiver he is, if you didn't know, if you didn't hear that on the CBS broadcast enough, Ryan Tannehill,
every single broadcast that's ever had one of his games,
is a former wide receiver. The athleticism Tannehill brings, at one, of course, being younger, but being a better athlete, is advantageous to the Titans that I think they need, because you saw several instances where when a play needed to be made outside of the pocket, Ryan Tannehill could hit Anthony Firkser, could hit Jonnu Smith for some 10, 15-yard gain to move the chains on third downs. Do I really believe in them being able to do that over and over again next season? No. But in terms of being able to make that play, I think I would bet on Ryan Tannehill being able to do it at a better rate than Tom Brady because of the athleticism and age factor for Tannehill that the Titans clearly needed last year and you need anytime you're going to make a pretty special run.
And here's what gets me with Tannehill too. My biggest concern with Tannehill is because we can both agree the Titans got lucky with Tannehill and Tannehill got lucky with Tannehill.
Yes.
He's never played this way in his entire career, and we have a decent sample size of what Ryan Tannehill is. What last year was uncharacteristic of Ryan Tannehill.
To say the least, and now you're going to use my own regression to the mean point against
me. For an entire season, for an entire 16-game season, he's going to regress to the mean. So what the question that John Robinson is really going to have to ask is, are you going to take what Ryan Tannehill is on his average day, or take Tom Brady on his average day, even at the age of 43. He'll be 43 next year. Turns 43 in August. That is a very good question. But I will take Tom Brady's brain. I'll take even what's left of his arm, even if it's not the strongest right now. He is still accurate in dinks and dunks. And if the Titans can surround him with maybe a couple more weapons that are good at that specific thing. He's got Adam Humphries, which fits the MO of almost any good wide receiver that's played.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Humphries, a little slot receiver, he does kind of resemble Deion Branch or Wes Welker or Danny Amendola or Julian Edelman. Sneaky fast receivers.
Those guys share a common characteristic for sure.
They most definitely do. And he's got Adam Humphries. He's got everything he could ever want. But that is the perfect type. These are the type of receivers, type of weapons that Tom Brady needs. Tom Brady's not going to beat you down the field. He needs guys who can catch the ball and make something happen with it afterwards.
The Titans, though, offense, though, last season was not largely predicated on, but was greatly aided by, in a way that hadn't in the last few seasons, by the deep bombs they hit to Khalif Raymond.
But are they hitting all of those again next year? That's the big thing. That is where the regression to me comes into play.
I think, though, the regression to the mean is also a fair argument against Tom Brady and the age factor, that eventually it's going to catch up to him, and he can't keep defying things like he has. You saw it last season. It showed up a little bit. And I think that a big part of Tom Brady last season was the fact that there was just no talent on that offense.
Yeah, the offensive line wasn't as good as usually is.
And that's a reason I think he wants to leave, is because he knows that if he wants to be better, that's part of it. And you bring up Adam Humphries. I wonder if Tom Brady was one of the people who wanted Adam Humphries.
Because and if the that Patriots increases his wanted him,
coming
yep.
to Nashville,
because
Tennessee.
The Patriots were definitely in the market for Adam Humphries. And here's the thing, too. When it comes to Tom Brady and this offense, I think this one's just perfect for him. Tom Brady will show signs of age in his arm. He already has. But you're going to be able to mask some of that easier with Tom Brady just because he's got more weapons around him. You have a better offensive line to keep him upright. If there's any system or any personnel, offensive personnel in the NFL right now that I think is fit for Tom Brady to mask some of his inabilities at his old age or be able to mask some of the rust or him getting what the kids would say washed, it's the Tennessee Titans. The Titans have an offense right now that can mask a lot of that. And if you're John Robinson, I think that is a very good way to look at it right now in terms of should we take the risk on Tom Brady.
You know, I actually don't fully agree with you there either, that the Titans have the weapons on the offense right now. Let's get into that on the other side, because this plays into what we have coming up next. Impressions from the NFL Combine.
Ooh,
who's
yeah.
impressed us this far? Because personally, I think the Titans need to add weapons on offense to change up what they did last season if they want to make a good offense for Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady. We'll get to that on the other side of Calvin and Campbell right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at SmithAcalvin. The guy to my right, Elijah Campbell. You can follow him on Twitter at E_Campbell3. And if you've listened to a little bit of this show so far and you think, I kind of like these little jokesters on the radio. Well, guess what? You can hear us whenever you want. On-demand podcasts. Our show will be uploaded to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can hear it, Calvin and Campbell. Did you miss a segment? Do you want to hear a little bit more Tom Brady to Nashville hype talk? We got it for you. Just search Calvin and Campbell into Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google it. It'll pop up for you. And give the page a subscribe, 5-star rating, big help. You can listen to ESPN 102.5 The Game on demand wherever you may be. And before we went to break, Elijah said that the Titans have an offense that's going to be conducive to success for a quarterback like Tom Brady because of the weapons that they already have here. And honestly, I'm not too convinced of that. I like A.J. Brown. I think Jonnu Smith is a fine tight end. I think Anthony Firkser is a nice option. Derrick Henry obviously had the best season he's ever had last year. Very talented running back. Michael Pruitt's all right. Tajay Sharpe, possession receiver. Not 100% sold he'll be back with the team next year. Corey Davis may not get his option picked up. And the only name I think I just said that really made headlines last season, A.J. Brown. Of course, Derrick Henry. I mean, I'm thinking about outside receivers here. Obviously, Derrick Henry made plenty of headlines.
And you can hopefully bank on Adam Humphries being healthy enough to be a quintessential Tom Brady weapon, but you can always upgrade him.
I think, and I've been of this belief for a while now, and I said as much on Morning Drive this week when someone compared me to Jared Stillman for thinking that the Titans' success isn't replicable this season. Excuse me for having skepticism about a team that won on an incredibly slim margin all year, okay? Let's chill out with calling me a hot take maestro here, because I have legitimate concerns about the structure of the Titans' offense, okay?
Did Jared see that?
Oh, yeah, he quote tweeted, he said he's super happy to inspire the young broadcasters. And I saw him in the office, and I said, Jared, my great mentor, I'm so happy to see you today. And he said, I just love to work for people like you, Calvin.
The Darth Sith, botched the Star Wars reference. He's Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
and he's molding Siths of the future.
So I disagree with you, Elijah, that the Titans have an offense ready. I think they need to go add somebody who can give this offense a new look in the draft, in free agency, what have you.
Oh, yeah.
Personally, of course, I'm Calvin Smith. I'm going to think that needs to be a vertical, deep down the field threat. Now that I've laid out a little bit about what I think, Elijah, and obviously the NFL Combine is this week, where do you disagree with me? Where do you think the Titans are still positioned well, and where do you think they can still look to upgrade after what we saw from the almighty results of the NFL Combine?
Well, based off the results of the combine, I don't think that would change my position. I still think in a wide receiver loaded draft, you are still able to get some very talented weapons at receiver to add to what you have right now. The only question is, what type of receiver are you going to need? Are you going to need to build someone more towards Ryan Tannehill's strengths, or maybe one Tom Brady? You have those in this draft. This might be the best wide receiver draft we've had in a long, long time. I don't want to say ever. I don't want to just throw out hyperbole here. But this is one of the best loaded ones.
Oh, absolutely. The talent from top to bottom is great. I mean, I think you have three receivers,
oh, man,
top 15, who are legit guys. Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, top 15 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a mock draft right now that has Henry Ruggs 18. If you're getting a Henry Ruggs at 18, you are eating good.
You know, there's a lot more to playing receiver in the NFL than just running fast, of course.
He's got them hands, too.
But speed plays no matter what. And if I'm a GM looking at the draft, mm-hmm, obviously, you know, you're looking to get a complete player with high upside, a team guy, and all of that. But I want one tangible skill that a player can hang a hat on. So that sets a floor for you that you can look at. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know if he can run a outside post or run this post route for me well against this defense in this situation or something like that. But I know he can run fast and stretch the field for me and be somebody who makes the defense think twice. Give you that floor of, okay, I know I can hang my hat on this and he does this well.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of those guys with that skill set too. Like T. Higgins isn't the fastest guy on the planet. But he, when the ball's up in the air and you're in the red zone, he can high point that sucker and he can get it.
Yeah,
he's like a little Larry Fitzgerald-esque a little bit. Not going to kill you with speed, but that one thing he does best is catch the football. And as a wide receiver, that is a pretty important skill to have. T. Higgins in this draft is, I've seen mocked at 22. Guys like Laviska Shenault in the 20s. The Titans aren't far away from these spots. They can get a receiver like that and just beef up this wide receiving core.
What about, because I'll state it again, because everybody knows I was the Khalif Raymond fan club leader, right?
Oh, yeah.
I loved the speed he brought to the table.
Banging that drum.
But in terms of getting a receiver who can play down in and down out for you, Khalif Raymond is not that guy. So I think the Titans investing in a wide receiver in the first three rounds of the draft, getting a receiver who can come in and play on first or second down, or first, second, third, what have you, multiple downs rather than just being a gadget player for you, is going to provide benefits for this offense that they lacked last season of always having somebody who can take the top off of you. Because yeah, A.J. Brown did that, but in a completely different way. Because are you going to bet on A.J. Brown having the 3-4 monster yards after the catch runs he had last season again?
Maybe. I mean,
it's difficult to do that again. Yards after the catch is really unstable from year to year when you're talking about players who aren't getting those routes on deep routes.
Right. But, I mean, he's a hard guy to take down. It can be replicated. That's just one thing we'll have to see. We only have 1 year of watching him play NFL football. But another interesting point that I thought of over the during the break, too, is that tight end. You mentioned Mykole Pruitt. It plays a good role on the team. Anthony Firkser, which they've locked up. You think the Titans should even look at tight end?
Absolutely.
And if so, I'm intrigued by Bryson Hopkins from
Purdue.
That's
where my mind went to.
I've definitely kind of been digging Bryson Hopkins. I don't know what he's done in the combine, mostly because I don't care.
Ran the second fastest 40 at 4.66 among all tight ends.
That's a good sign. But you can never have too many pass-catching tight ends. I mean, that's just it's a multitude of weapons. Especially if you get Tom Brady. Tom Brady loves throwing to tight ends.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially when you can get a tight end who is fast, 6'4", 245 pounds, a matchup nightmare.
Ooh, I've got Bryson Hopkins here at 6'5", 245.
Ooh, okay, so he's a big guy.
He's a big guy. He's pretty tall.
Tight ends who are freak athletes are matchup nightmares is what we're saying.
Exactly.
And Jonnu Smith is one of those, but are we betting on Jonnu Smith being the tight end one this season?
It'd be hard.
You still see him as a really nice athletic tight end, but right now
he's a gadget.
With the trajectory of what we've seen from him, he's not the guy at tight end that you hang your hat on every single down.
Yeah, he hasn't proven that yet, but I think he's proven to be a great gadget. There is that play in Houston that I like to allude to where he had a 57-yard run on a handoff.
Or the freaking catch places. Against the Baltimore Ravens, one-handed in the end zone.
Yeah, one cheek equals 2 feet.
Yeah.
that's when we learned the NFL's rule on catching and being in bounds on the catch and what it constitutes a catch right there. But Jonnu Smith isn't doing that all the time.
I mean, if he ever makes a catch like that again, wow.
Yeah, then maybe he is tight end one, and maybe you should just throw him the ball more often. But Bryson Hopkins was a name that, like, over the last couple weeks or so, I've become intrigued with, and he's got NFL pedigree. You bank on a guy whose father played in the NFL, especially for the same organization, to come in and know how to conduct business. That's one thing that teams liked about Patrick Mahomes, other than his just ungodly talent that he possesses in his right arm. He is the son of a professional athlete. He knows how to approach sports as being your job because he has been around it his entire life. Bryson Hopkins is one of those options too, where this guy's been around it his entire life. He knows how to be a professional, knows how to be a team player. That's one of the intangibles about him that I really like too, not just his awesome size, hands, everything about him that scouts drool over.
And a Nashville guy, Innsworth High School.
Ah, see,
of course,
there you
go. Son of Brad Hopkins, former Titans offensive lineman.
Right, forgot to mention that. I mentioned that he's the son of an NFL player.
A guy who played right
Brad
here in
Hopkins
Nashville.
And played really well here in Nashville.
All right, coming up next here on Calvin and Campbell, it's time, I think it's our favorite segment we do, Say Something. We have a beautiful Chris Russo drop for it every single week. And we'll get to that on the other side. Elijah and I, we'll say something bold from this week. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.